You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Questions are all around us.
Learn.
Why is liquid cold?
Learn.
What is maths?
Learn.
Why does this, hurt?
Learn.
What is the Enlightenment?
I don't know.
And now, thanks to the University of Auckland, it's time to ready, steady, learn.
Yes, that's right. It's time for Ready, Steady, Learn here on 95BFM Breakfast. Thanks to Waipapa Taumataro, the University of Auckland. We're joined in the studio by Dr. Rowan Light. Morena.
Hi.
How are you this morning?
I'm good, thank you.
Good, good. I'm excited to get into the weeds of what we're going to talk about. You're a lecturer in history here at UOA, and you also do a bit of mahi with the museum as well, we were talking about. But your sort of specialty area is the New Zealand Wars, is that right?
Yeah, so I'm a curator for the New Zealand Wars at Auckland's War Memorial Museum, Tamaki Paenga Era, and I've just co-curated an exhibition, Ataro, Stories of the New Zealand Wars, with Nigel Burrell, our curator Taonga Māori, and my area of research is broad, I guess most broadly about how communities and societies remember and commemorate conflict and war. And so I've looked at things like Anzac Day, for example, obviously like a really big dominant kind of story and kind of ritual that New Zealanders participate in around the remembrance of the First World War, and also I'm really interested in the role that museums play in shaping kind of the stories we tell about conflict. And Auckland War Memorial Museum is a really good place to do that, because it is the museum that's re-established as the War Memorial in 1929, which is a response to the First World War, but it holds the largest collection of objects and taonga relating to the New Zealand Wars, our kind of foundational conflict. So yeah, that's very much a focus of my work at the moment.
In your experience, because yeah, obviously Anzac Day is such a dominant sort of part of what we learn about when it comes to our history, especially regarding conflict and wars. Do we know enough about the New Zealand Wars, like in general, the New Zealand public?
It's a very good question, and I think probably the best answer is that it's patchy at best, how much we know and how much we recognise. And I think it does depend where you grew up and which you know, communities you're connected to. So for example, we now have on our calendar a National Day of Commemoration for the New Zealand Wars, and that's coming up next week, so very timely to be talking about this topic. So October 28th is our He Rā Mō Mahara, our Day of Remembrance, Te Pūtaki o Te Riri, to remember the causes of the conflicts, the roots of the anger is one way to think of that title. And so it's been a commemoration that started in 2017, and it was a consequence of Otorohanga school students visiting Waikato war battle sites. So that's been a community, and for example that's Otorohanga, where they've told those stories locally. Aucklanders maybe not so much, despite the fact that these were wars that really defined the foundations of our city. So it is a history that we need to get better at recognising, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Like that whole period of the New Zealand Wars, 1845 to 1872, so much of the sort of ugliest parts of colonisation in this country took place there, eh? Like the invasion of the Waikato and Parihaka and Rangiawhia and all of those sort of huge events. Is part of the fact that we aren't recognising it enough, like the mamai there, the pain about that period of colonisation?
I think it is definitely the difficulty of presenting these in public life, because we're very used to sharing big stories in our society which are meant to be unifying and bringing us together. I think the wars, thinking and learning about the wars can do that in really important ways, but it's very difficult because it requires confronting, as you say, the dark edges of our histories. And really we can't understand colonization, we can't understand the trajectory of our histories, where we get today, without thinking about the New Zealand Wars. So they're so fundamental, but they, you know, we're not used to thinking as New Zealanders about the fact that military conquest was an essential part of how we established our democracy, for example. That's a very uncomfortable thought. I think, and you know, you mentioned Māmai, you know, that is a confronting aspect of the conflicts, particularly for Māori communities, where the part of the challenge of the complexity of the wars is that they were broadly between Māori and settlers, but they were very complex. So they're actually quite hard topics to you know, it does take a lot of us time to kind of think about and think about the different causes and consequences. So, for example, Māori had to make strategic decisions, and sometimes that meant aligning with the colonial forces and aligning with the British British forces. So where does that, where do those stories sit? And so there's no kind of neat, easy kind of story of here when we think about the wars.
I only just recently, after 4 years of studying at this university, learned about the role that the university grounds actually played in the invasion of the Waikato, and the fact that we've got the what do you call that wall that's got
so that's the Albert Barracks wall, and that's the last remaining kind of chunk of what was the Albert Barracks, which was the biggest military base in New Zealand during the wars. So a really significant kind of launching pad, as you say, for invasion and kind of occupation of Tamaki Makaurau. And then next to that, you, of course, is Old Government House. And Old Government House was, well, it was, it used to just be Government House. And that was the seat of the governors. And so New Zealand, Auckland was the capital up until 1865. So it was the political centre, it was the military centre. And you can't understand the kind of shape of the wars without understanding the sort of rise of Auckland. And you can't understand the rise of Auckland without understanding the wars, because it's the access to, so it's the arrival of the British forces, so the British army transforms the kind of population of this place. Many listeners will have whakapapa to British soldiers because they were such an important influx into the of a population into this place. And it's access to land, you know, that allows our economy to grow. And it's the confiscation of land that's really fundamental to that.
Yeah, it is crazy when you sort of start piecing all these bits of the history together, and then you walk around and you just see the things around you a little bit different. Like every now and then I sort of walk past Old Government House and I look up at the bedroom that Governor George Grey wrote to the government about the, like, that they should invade the Waikato. And I'm like, man. I don't know how you feel as a historian about like those big sort of figures like Governor George Grey, which have become quite controversial as people learn more. But
yeah, very, very complicated guy and has a lot to answer for. I think it is very valuable though that we have these sites to exactly have that reflection, because you know, you mentioned the Barrack Wall and it's a very tactile thing. You can sort of touch it, and it's made from scoria rock that's quarried from Mangafo, Mount Eden. So it's a very kind of living state material statement of how this, these wars have transformed our landscape. And you can touch it and you can see, and it's meant to be a statement of British power and occupation. And it's there, and it's, you know, it's just the leftover, it's the remnant. So in some ways it's a nice little metaphor for the ways that we've actually kind of pushed maybe some of these histories to the side, but it's still there. And I do think it's valuable as students and staff to think about, yeah, how has that shaped the institution of the university?
I am claiming ignorance here. There's a bit of shame around it. I don't know much about the Māori Wars. It was never really discussed in my education and, you know, in my whānau. So would you like to see potentially this being a part of the education system, that we get schooled up about it?
Well, the good thing is that since, so we've got a new day of commemoration, I mentioned, which is October 28th. We also have the new histories curriculum. So in theory, that's presenting topics like the New Zealand Wars as much more kind of central part of how we teach histories of this place. I think a lot of that will depend on resourcing, so how well we can resource teachers and communities to kind of facilitate those conversations. The work of historians and researchers and curators is part of that. It's part of, about creating the stories that we need to tell, as well as and helping for, helping communities tell their stories. So you mentioned there, that's a really good, you mentioned there that that naming of the wars. So Māori Wars is kind of a quite a one way that we've talked about the wars. The New Zealand Wars is now typically more the kind of common parlance. Ngā pākanga whenua or mua is the name that you're more likely to hear in places like Taranaki and Waikato. So the land wars of the past. Speaking to kind of the role of land and whenua for Māori communities.
It's so interesting the different ways in which it's framed across the motu and over time. Tell us a little bit more about Ataro, this exhibition at the Auckland Museum.
Yeah, so Ataro is a really amazing sort of first step that the museum's taking in understanding its own kind of role and how it presents and represents and commemorates these fundamental conflicts, these foundational conflicts that we've been talking about. So it's actually a refresh. So we've kind of touched up a gallery that was already on display, the New Zealand Wars Gallery, that was put up in 1997, and that's part of the kind of permanent galleries on the second floor of the museum for listeners who are familiar with the museum. So that's your First World War galleries, the Second World War galleries. And the New Zealand Wars have been kind of present amongst those stories, but it's not really been emphasised. And so what we're doing in Aotearoa is kind of thinking, okay, that was a gallery that was launched in 1997. We're in 2024, 2025. What does it look like for the museum, and what does it look like for Aucklanders and New Zealanders to commemorate these wars now? And what's changed? And so we've mentioned the commemoration. So October 28th now is on our public calendar. The histories curriculum. So there's this appetite and this desire to learn and recognise in public life these really important histories and how they explain our present moment, our present problems and challenges. So that's it's a first step in kind of addressing that. What we use is objects in the collection. We use contemporary art as well to explore different perspectives, different experiences of the wars. And it's really about, casting a bit of light on the kind of darker edges. So it's a really great opportunity to learn about the wars. It's just a few stories, but it's a sort of starting point for the museum and hopefully for many, many visitors as well.
Beautiful.
Oh, it's fascinating.
Amazing. So National Day of Commemorating the New Zealand Wars is now the 28th of October, which is next Tuesday. And I mean, what better way to commemorate than go and learn a little bit more at the Auckland Museum. Thank you so much, Dr. Rowan Light, for joining us for a corridor about a very important and very relevant topic. I've learned a lot.
Gross. Thank you.
That was Ready, Steady, Learn! Thanks to the University of Auckland, the best university.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.